At this Christmas season, we're probably used to a lot of all the fiction that comes with it, you know. Just go back and read Luke 2 about the birth of Christ. Read Matthew 2 when Jesus was 2 years old, when the wise men found him. And you'll see what the truth of the thing was. And it was something we're still talking about today. And the birth of Christ. We're not talking about the birth of Ty anymore, or Scott, or anybody else. But we still know a lot and think a lot about the birth of Christ, and more importantly, why he came. And, I mean, if we can't be thankful for that, then there's something wrong. Like David said, it was all about love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was Jesus. Okay, we've been studying about Luke, and I'm going to have you turn to the 20th chapter of Acts, and I'll try to follow my notes a little more closely today so I don't get off on a tangent so much. But if you are behind or don't understand what we're talking about, in the life of Luke is what we're really studying, and there were some highlight topics that were found in Luke that are found more in Luke than any, written by Luke more than anybody else. And I was mentioning the fact that Luke was a follower of the Apostle Paul, and he was impressed, it seems to me, by sermons that he heard, and he recorded many sermons for us in the book of Acts and also in the Gospel of Luke. The sermons in Luke are from Jesus. The ones in Acts are from Peter, Stephen, and the Apostle Paul. And that brings us to where we're going to get this morning. And then there was the topics and the subjects that are highlighted in these sermons. For example, last week we talked about how it seems to be highlighted in both what Peter preached and what Paul preached about the resurrection from the dead. And go back and read those sermons and see that they're that way. And Luke didn't hear all of these sermons, but he did hear some of them, and I think the ones we're talking about here this morning, he heard from firsthand experience, okay? It's good to see my mom. I haven't seen her for almost 2 months, so due to, you know, excuse me. And we go to Acts 20. Now, you remember what sermon Paul preached at Acts 20, anybody? Yeah. Farewell to the Ephesian elders. He wasn't at Ephesus, but he wanted to make good time getting to Jerusalem if he could be there by the day of Pentecost. So he called for them to meet him where he was. And this sermon is found, it's a speech, I guess we could call it a sermon, in Acts 20, verses 17 through 38. And recall that Paul was traveling here with several men. The seven mentioned in Acts 20, verse 4, along with Luke, and then Paul, that makes nine of them together. And Luke writes in the first person starting in Acts 20, verse 5. We mentioned that last week. And we also want to make mention before we get to this that Paul spent the better part of 3 years preaching at Ephesus prior to what we're about to read in Acts 20, verse 17 through 38. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with this portion. And this is all written, what Luke wrote there in Acts 20 and 21 is Paul concluded his third missionary journey. And Paul, as we mentioned, was in a hurry to get back to Pentecost, kind of a holiday for the Jews before the day of Pentecost. And because he knew that Jews from all over the world would be in attendance, and if you go and study in Romans, Paul's desire for the children of Israel, for the Jews, his own people, was that they might be saved, okay? And he was kind of hopeful that he might get an opportunity to speak to as many Jews as he could. He actually got that opportunity, though it wasn't anything like he would have imagined it in his mind. You know, it's kind of like we visit places that we've heard about, and we get there, it's not exactly like we imagine it in our mind. It's a little different. And good to see you, Steve. Seeing some people that have been in the hospital in recent days. And so let's start in Acts 20, verse 16. And as Paul's making this journey towards Jerusalem, it says, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. That's Paul's Asia, where Ephesus was found. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus. He was in Miletus. He sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, to the Ephesian elders, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. This shows the manner that Paul taught, testifying both to the Jews and also to the non-Jews, the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I go bound by the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And this is a testimony of a full overcomer here in verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Note here, I looked this up this morning about my course. He writes about it there in 2 Timothy 4, again, where he's finished his course. When I finish my course, he says. It's a race course that he was on. And that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify, note the gospel that he was to testify, the gospel of the grace of God. File that in your memory bank for a while. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. Did Paul preach the kingdom of God? Well, what does it say? I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. Ye shall see my face no more. Verse 26. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, ye Ephesian elders, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves, that's two-legged wolves, enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, that's how long he was at Ephesus, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. What was Paul's occupation? He was a tent builder. 1 Corinthians 18. No, Acts 18. If you find that other one, let me know. That's in Acts 18. And that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that he should see, they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. Now, we don't know if they ever seen him again or not, okay? But that was his line of thinking, that he wasn't going to be coming back that way. And he may not have. And if he did, they might not have been around. So it was a true statement that he made. Now, this sermon, if you want to call it a sermon, it was more than a sermon. It was a testimony. It was a prophecy. It was an edification. It was an instruction. It was an encouragement and an exhortation, a pouring out of sound doctrine, all wrapped up in one Holy Ghost inspired speech, if you don't want to call it a sermon. And do you think Luke heard this? I think he was there with the rest of them. He wrote it down. And then we know later on in Acts 22 that the Apostle Paul gave his testimony before the multitude in Jerusalem after his arrest. And then again, he gave his testimony once again in Acts 26 before King Agrippa. And those testimonies that we find in those chapters was something that Luke wrote down, probably having heard it again firsthand. And these testimonies can be called sermons if you wish, because Luke wrote down a lot of sermons, but he wrote down a lot of testimonies too. And the next sermon, go to Acts 28, that Luke heard Paul preach, most likely was in Acts 28, after Paul had finally arrived in Rome, and that was a long, tedious journey. We'll discuss it later on, Lord willing, in this study. if the Lord tarries that long, and I hope he don't. Let's read from Acts 28, 23. And Paul's in Rome, and he'd called for the Jews to come hear him. And when they had appointed him a day, in verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Notice what he was preaching about, the kingdom of God. Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning to evening. You would not want to argue with Paul from Old Testament scriptures because he knew them very well. He also knew what they meant. And it says, imagine this, and some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. So not everybody believed Paul when he heard him in person. Hard to imagine that, but they didn't. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word from the Lord, which was, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, Paul says, therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. I'm sure that Luke witnessed this. And Paul, Luke writes, dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, this was in Rome, and received all that came unto him. Notice verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God. What was Paul preaching? The kingdom of God. And teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So we've spent quite a bit of time here in the last 3 weeks or so taking note of several sermons that Luke documented in Scripture. These were sermons of Peter's, the Stephen's sermon, and sermons of the Apostle Paul. And Lord willing, if he tarries long enough, we'll get to a couple of sermons that Jesus preached, which are Luke also recorded in his Gospel of Luke, sermons that he didn't hear firsthand. But if you remember, the book of Luke was written from eyewitness accounts and from ministers of the word that he heard tell the story. So now, before we get to these sermons in Luke, which we won't get to this morning, there's a couple of things that we should highlight concerning Luke, because we're really studying about Luke. And it gives us great insight into Luke's character, and we probably miss this if we don't really take the time to look at it. And the first point was one that we discussed previously, and that being that Luke emphasized more than all the other authors of Scripture combined the Holy Ghost. We find that of the 90 times in Scripture where we read the words the Holy Ghost, Luke wrote it 53 times out of 90. That's more than half, isn't it? Luke referenced the Holy Ghost 11 times in Luke and 42 times in Acts. What do you think, who do you think was important in Luke's life, the Holy Ghost, in the workings of the Holy Ghost. And the record of Acts is called Acts of the Apostles, but we've been taught that it could be called the Acts of the Holy Ghost. How many are found there in the book of Acts? Everybody's silent because nobody is taking the time to count them out. Because how could you? And they continue on to this day. The Acts of the Holy Ghost. What has he done in your life? Count it out. Can you? Be way, way too hard, wouldn't it? Thank the Lord that he knows. The second point that draws our attention about the character of Luke is that he wrote the phrase, and we've emphasized that here this morning, the phrase, the kingdom of God. Luke wrote it more than any other writer of scripture. You find the phrase, the kingdom of God, 70 times in scripture. 70 is the number of rulership. Luke wrote 40 of these, the kingdom of God statements. You think he was focused in a little bit on things of the kingdom of God? Of course he was. He wrote the phrase, the kingdom of God, 33 times in Luke and 7 times in Acts. We just went over a couple of those scriptures a minute ago. And then of the 70 kingdom of God statements found in scripture, Paul wrote 8 of them. Eight, one of the meanings of the number 8 has to do, it's a number associated with the bride of Christ, because she will reign with Christ in the kingdom of God. And we're going to spend some time discussing this to make this clear. And if it isn't already in your own mind. Again, what we read this morning is Paul in Acts 20:25 preached to the Ephesian elders that, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. And then what we just read in Acts 28:30-31, and you're probably still there, how that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his old hired house and received all that came in unto him, verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God. Furthermore, he taught those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And then if you go back and look at verse 23 of Acts 28, it says, and when he had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. We read that, I think. Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and of the prophets from morning till evening. And then go back in Acts there to Acts 19 for a moment. And this is when Paul had just began his time there in Ephesus in his third missionary journey early on. In Acts 19:8, it says this, and he went into the synagogue. Who resides in the synagogues? Who comes to the synagogue service? The Jews, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. You think you've heard some long sermons? No, that was not all at the same time. He spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning what? The kingdom of God. Because the Jews understood that. That's what they were thinking about. And then go back a few pages more in your Bible to Acts 14:22. And this was at the end of Paul's first missionary journey with Barnabas, where they had returned to the cities they had previously preached unto. And in Acts 14, 22, Paul and Barnabas were encouraging those. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Have we gone through much tribulation? Especially this year, seems like we've gone through an enormous amount. So these were five references in Acts concerning Paul, which Luke wrote, that showed us that the Apostle Paul preached about the things concerning the kingdom of God. Recently, three weeks ago, on a Friday night, I filled in for Scott when he was out of town. And our subject that night was about the apostles and what they preached. And we were talking both about the church apostles and the kingdom apostles, and I will clarify that if we follow along as we go along here this morning. We kind of ran out of time. I gave you all handouts, and so you have the references. And those of you that are out of town, I've sent the references to if you in the handouts if you didn't have them. And if you still don't have them, send me an email and I'll get them to you. TysonRobinson@cs.com. Okay, and just make a note so I don't delete you that what you're looking for. So I'll give you a summary of what we were discussing that night, and that would be the difference between the kingdom apostles and the church apostles, and specifically the difference in what they taught. In Hebrews 3:1, that was one of the verses we looked at, we are informed that Christ Jesus was also the apostle and high priest of Paul's profession. Most of us, if we didn't look at that scripture, didn't count Jesus among the apostles. And he was chief of all of them. And it was the apostle, Christ Jesus, whom all of the apostles followed. Now, note this, and I got it highlighted in my notes, so when they finally get them online, once I give them to Bill to put online, you'll see it's in bold print. The kingdom apostles were sent unto who? The Jews, the children of Israel. And they were sent to the Jews, turn to Luke 9, they were sent unto the Jews to preach the kingdom of God during the time of Jesus. And we'll read Luke 9, 1 and 2 to start with. Luke 9, 1 and 2. Then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 2. Let's see. Well, we'll read from verse 5. But in Matthew 10, 2, the 12 disciples of Jesus, they're also called apostles. And we know them as kingdom apostles, okay? This is who we call kingdom apostles. These are Jesus' disciples. Matthew 10, 5 and 6 tells us to whom these kingdom apostles were sent, verifying what Luke had already noted in Luke 9, 1 and 2. Matthew 10, 5 and 6, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, highlighting again, the kingdom apostles were sent unto the Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to preach the kingdom of God. Now, note this. Jesus himself was a kingdom apostle. Go to Matthew 4. Jesus himself was a kingdom apostle, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he preached to the Jews, as we will plainly see in these next few scriptures, starting in Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, where the Jews met, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Go to Matthew 9:35. Here again, we read, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The next book in your Bible is Mark. Turn to Mark 1. Mark 1:14. Now after that, John, that'd be John the Baptist, was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What did Jesus preach? The gospel of the kingdom of God. Luke 8. This is another reference, pretty much to the same thing about Jesus. Luke 8:1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. So we find that the Jews understood Jesus' message concerning the kingdom of God, but their viewpoint and their perspective was from an earthly perspective, primarily because this is what they had been taught from Old Testament scriptures. And I referenced a couple of tracts when I did Scott's class the other night. And one of the tracts is that these are found in your pamphlet section of the references in your Living Waters website under Study Books. Brother Copley wrote a tract called The Gospel of the Kingdom or The Gospel of the Glory. And the Jews' line of thinking, according to Brother Copley, were along the lines of the kingdom of God on earth, that is, Christ reign with Israel over the nations. That will happen during the millennium, okay? Go to 1 Chronicles 17. This is where we read about, one place we read about the Davidic covenant, and it also expresses these same thoughts. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 7. Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee, David, from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also, I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more, Neither shall the children of the wickedness hate them any more as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house, and it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan did speak unto David. I don't know if we got time to get through this next one, but it's in Isaiah 9. And so turn there. And Isaiah was one of the Old Testament prophets. He taught about Jesus being the Messiah. In Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, we read this, which is appropriate for this time of the year. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And if we have time, let's go to Daniel 2. And this tells of a time in the not so distant future. We'll look at it next week, I guess, if the Lord tarries. And from my family to yours, have a wonderful Christmas. Thank everybody for your cards and gifts and your thoughts and your prayers, especially.